WTFR.
We are sick and tired of the New York media dominating and controlling the news around the world. We are sick and tired of having to keep silent as the white genocide continues. Well, we're not remaining silent anymore. Scream from the fucking rooftops with Mike Sledge here on News White People Can Use, where truth and real news is called anti-Semitic. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to News That White People Can Use. We really don't know where Mike is at the moment. What happens is he actually starts work at like 3 a.m. So he's probably fallen asleep and we can't wake him up. I tried to call his phone and I've tried to call him on Skype. Neither is working. So, yeah, he's probably just snoozing. I don't know, but... And what happens is he was going to be having Tabitha on. And of course, she's with me here now. And I don't really know what they were going to be covering. I know roughly what they were going to be covering when it comes to culture and everything like that. But, yeah, don't really have anything lined up this evening for Mike. So, Tabitha, you're here with us, no doubt?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good morning. No matter where you are.
That's right.
How are you doing?
Pretty good so far today. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just wondering where Mike is.
I'm wondering the same thing.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about culture, among other things. I hope you've got something lined up because, of course, I don't know what he was going to be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he had sent me a couple of links for things that he wanted to chat about, but I guess I was kind of expecting him to kind of steer that ship and stuff. So let's see if I have anything we can talk about.
There's always things we can talk about. I mean,
oh, certainly.
Certainly. Yeah. And what happens is, I'd like to, before we even begin with any of that, if it's okay by you, because this was going to be yours and Mike's show, and I respect that, I would like to discuss a little bit more of what we were discussing on a show we just did, when it comes to the forums and the, the YouTube comments area, where people are now steering in a totally different direction compared to what they ever have before, Tabitha.
Yeah, definitely. We can definitely talk about that if you'd like to. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for instance, I've been going into different forums and even the MIRC. Do you know what the MIRC is?
No, what's that?
The MIRC is a chat program you can go into, and it's got literally hundreds and hundreds of different channels. And even since it's become very, very politically correct, all the different channels are being monitored by all kinds of cretins. That basically what's happening, and I'm even seeing a change there where people are saying, oh, I don't care if you ban me. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm monitoring these chat rooms, these chat channels, and of the MIRC, and you can see people saying, you know what, ban me, go right ahead. Sooner or later, you're not going to have the MIRC because people aren't going to be coming back here. And one of the things I've got to say about YouTube is a lot of people are moving to BitChute. What happens is BitChute has some caching problems and they need to improve. They really do. There's no doubt about it. I was talking with Josh, you know, your guest that you had on your show the other day. And even he said there's a few problems they do have to really improve. For instance, he tried to post something and then all of a sudden he had to retry and post it because it didn't go through. So they've got some teething problems. There's no doubt about it. But I have no doubt in my mind, Tabs, that since YouTube is controlling, trying to control people so much, BitChute is going to get a hell of a lot of people coming over. They're already getting them. And I think that's why their caching is slowing even more, is because they're already getting a lot of these people. But if they, as long as they improve all of that stuff, I think that they're going to do much better than YouTube, because YouTube are trying to just control whatever we can say or what we can't say, when we know full well that white Western civilization as a whole should have free speech.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think a lot of people are making the switch over to BitChute, but they have some little problems like the buffering and all that type of stuff. But hopefully that'll be a place where people can more freely speak. Well, I'm seeing here in the Skype, Mike has arrived.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, folks. Sorry about that.
There you are.
Hello,
there you are,
good
dude.
Evening.
All right, I will let you two go at it.
Hey, Sean, sorry about that, man. I went to the store to get some beer, and I got a flat tire. Flat fucking tire.
That's all fun. That's always fun, isn't it?
Sorry about the delay, folks. I was on the road changing my flat tire, and I was like, fuck! Motherfuck, I should never went to get beer.
Yeah, you've got to have beer, and a flat tire shouldn't put that in jeopardy, but it did. Okay, you two have a good show.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Hey, Tabitha, do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound good. I can hear you very clearly.
Okay, I got grease all over myself. Jesus Christ. I normally would have got my beer a couple hours from the show, but you know, I sleep a couple hours before I come on because I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And so I set my alarm for 9:30. Alarm went off and I was like, okay, the store is right down the street. Let me just get in the car. And I get the beer. I got my 6-pack of IPA, pretty good beer. It better be good beer. It cost me $12 a 6-pack and a fucking flat tire. I get the beer and I'm driving home and I hear ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Maybe I can ride this thing out, you know?
Literally, yeah.
And I'm like, no. It's going to fuck up the... the frame on the tire. So I pulled over. I had to change it. And I'm changing this fucking thing so fast. And I didn't even take my cell phone with me. So I couldn't call Sean. I couldn't call nobody. I couldn't, you know. I have my cell phone on charge at the house. Because it's only like two or three blocks away. And I was like, fuck. Anyway, sorry, folks. This proves this is live radio, by the way.
Yeah, this is the real flavor of live broadcasting.
Well, I'm so glad you're here as my guest. Sorry for the weird intro, but it wouldn't be the first time that I've ever done a weird intro on one of my shows. This is News White People Can Use, and my guest tonight is Tabitha from White Wellness right here in this network. It is an honor to have you on, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back for show number two.
And it's always something weird on my shows when you come on, Tabs, but that's okay. I got the info. I got the documents right here, Tabitha. By the way, to start off the show, I wanted to say, and Sean, thanks for improvising as always. You could be the next stand up at the Night of the Improv.
You know it.
So, Sean, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome, man.
Now, listen to this. I wanted to start off the show with Tabitha because it happened in her state, and it's the funniest fucking story I've ever heard. I've been following this so-called anti-Semitic shooting in New York at a kosher grocery store in New York City, and it's been kind of hitting the talk radio news as I drive to work every day in the morning. And two guys dressed in black said they had anti-Semitic literature documents and a bomb in the back of a U-Haul. It wasn't a Ryder truck this time, just a U-Haul. And I've been listening to this, and I was like, please, God, please, please don't let it be two white guys. And guess what? Odin answered my prayers. If it was two white guys, I would have said it was a false fag attack, folks. But it wasn't. It was two black Jew Israelite, Hebrew Israelites. So this is a real attack. Folks, this attack is real. It is two black Hebrew Israelites. So this is a real attack. Okay? It is nigger Jews attacking real Jews, or are there such a thing as real Jews? Groy Jews attacking. Everybody wants to be a Jew and they're shooting each other. This is Jew on Jew violence, folks.
That's what I was going to say. I haven't even heard about this until now because I guess I really don't follow too much of this. But yeah, just more theater, essentially.
No, this is a great story, though, because, you know, the Jew media loves to be condescending, right? And they love to have this whole thing about two white nationalists shot up a Jewish whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Dylan Ruhipnol or whatever. But this one is a touchy thing for the mass media. That might be why it's not being played up too well, is because it's black people who think they are the real Jews shooting up the so-called Jews.
This is a war for who's the biggest Jew. It's a they're like running a race for who's like mega Jew.
They're running a race, no pun intended. And by the way, folks, do you know what? I forgot the swimmer's name. Who was the swimmer that won the gold in the Olympics for swimming and then got busted
Michael
for weed?
Michael Phelps, yes. Right? Yes.
What's the difference between Michael Phelps and Adolf Hitler?
I don't know.
At least Michael Phelps could finish off a race, folks. Anyway, all right. Anyway. But this is Groy Jew on Jew shooting. This is a big deal, Tap. Because
yeah,
I'm listening to the news here, and they don't know how to report this. They're like, we finally, you know, because I could hear in the voice, because I heard this on talk radio, like on the news breaks, like on a WABC, Don Imus channel, and they had a hard time breaking the story for like the last 3 days, because they didn't know. You could tell they were hoping. They knew it was anti-Semitic. They knew it was race-based. But they were hoping that once they unmask, like the Scooby-Doo show, they pull off the mask, it'd be two white guys.
Yeah.
That they could blame it on. And it wasn't. It was two black Hebrew Israelites. The black Hebrews!
That's like the last person they would have wanted to do something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This makes the story even more funny. And so,
what a mess.
You know, I used to work with one of these black Hebrew Israelite people. They are funny as shit, by the way. I got to tell you.
I've never met one of them. I don't know.
Okay. Unfortunately, I used to work with one of them at a job couple years back, and he was a warehouse picker. He used to pick orders and shipping and receiving. And let me tell you something, this guy was freaking ridiculous. He claimed to be the real Jews, or a real Jewish guy, because he's a black man. You know, the black, you know, this is like the next level of black idiocracy, by the way, Tabitha, the black Hebrewites, because not only did they build the pyramids and space technologies and UFOs and shit, but they should be in Israel. They are more Jews than the Jews, you know? They are smarter than the Jews.
There was some movie, I think, made about black Israelites, like, recently. Some, like, a Hollyweird movie, I think, that came out like recently. I don't even know what it's called, but let's see if I can find that.
I told this black guy, Tabitha, that used to work where I used to work. He used to work in the back of the warehouse. And he used to go, "Yo, man, we're the real Jews and shit. We don't do none of that. We geniuses. We the real chosen people." And I said, "You know what? You're right." He goes, "What do you mean, Mike? What do you mean I'm right?" I said, "You are the real Jew. You act just like a Jew. You sell drugs, you do drugs, you try to fuck white women all the time, and you debase our race. You know what? You are perfect. Yes, you are the black Israelite." "You fucking nigger." Anyway,
yeah, here's the movie. It's called The Day Shall Come. It's about an impoverished preacher who brings hope to the Miami projects, is offered to save cash for his family from eviction or something like that. This is a Hebrew Israelite movie, I think. I think it came out of the summer or something like that. I don't know. I don't really follow the movies anymore. It's just all the same shitty drivel, you know?
Yeah, but it still is funny that the...
The day shall come.
The day shall... Yo, man, the day shall come when we, the black Israelites, and by the way, this will be a Southern rock show in a minute, folks, but the flat tire and this shooting effed it all up. All right. By the way, I'm in a good mood. You know, Tabitha knows this off air. My girlfriend came over tonight. This is another reason why, you know, I was excited. I woke up. She came over. I had a great time. She cooked for me. It was great. I ate a good meal. All I had to do was sleep to 9:30 and go to the store and the flat tire. See, it's always something. Every time something goes good for me, everything goes wrong. All right, let's get into this. So.
Okay.
Enough of the... Because to tell you the truth, Tabitha, I can't really tell the difference between a nigger and a real Jew or a Jew. And they're both niggers to me. So what difference does it make? Let's get on with the show.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they both act in a way that's, not so good.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Louis Farrakhan, I think the Nation of Islam, the Muslims, had a book called The Secret Relationship between Black Jews, right?
Yeah, there was actually a picture of him about a year ago holding that book up with kind of like this pouty face on Twitter. And I think he had his account removed for whatever reason, for hate speech or anti-Semitism or, you know, whatever. But I mean, some of the stuff he says, like, I know he's anti-white, but some of the stuff he says, like, he's right about the Jewish stuff that he says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This shows you how crazy the groid Jews are of the black Hebrewites. Even the Nation of Islam, the Muslims, can't even control these people in the Fred Flintstone costumes holding their placards outside of, you know, I have to deal with them when I go to Atlanta. They're dressed up like in Fred Flintstone outfits, and it's ridiculous. I mean, they look literally like black Fred Flintstones and Barney, you know, from the Flintstones, dressed up in these freaking Stone Age outfits. I mean, they look absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, it's mind, as you would say, Tabitha, it's mind-zoggling. Now, here we go. Your show, and I think this is what you and Sean were talking about when I was changing a flat tire, was the fact that your recent show with Josh was banned on YouTube, correct? Tabitha.
Tabitha, okay. Have you muted yourself?
Hello?
Oh, there she is.
No, okay. I didn't mute myself. I got disconnected. My internet has been really funny all day. When I got home today, it was also disconnected. So all of a sudden, I lost the last minute of what you said, Mike.
Okay. At the beginning of the show, you and Sean were talking about how your last show, and I heard your last bit that you and Sean posted, your last show with Josh, Lone Wolf One, was banned from YouTube.
It was taken down within 2 or 3 hours of it being posted,
right? And that gets us into The theory is that this was probably Bile and Tinia's Antifa fag forces who called in to a copyright claim to get it to cut down because they're jealous
flagging
of
the video.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's important. So I want to get into this because you said on that little bit you did with Sean on here in WTFR that her avatar at one point was Lilith from the Jewish Hebrew.
It still
Hebrew
is.
Torah. Okay.
It still well, is. Not was, it. Is. Yeah. Yeah, so I discussed that a little bit yesterday when I was did a little impromptu podcast with Sean. But yeah, she uses this avatar over at the Derengrenade Tribune of Lilith, who was another woman, the first woman in the Bible before Eve came Lilith. And she uses an avatar of this Hebrew demon, Lilith. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't think anybody would. And if, like I said yesterday, if I fucked up and I used a symbol that I wasn't familiar with, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'd tell everyone what I did, and I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting. Remember the Lilith Fair tour back in the 90s?
Yes, I remember hearing all about it. I never went to it, but I remember it was around the time with, you know, Woodstock, the new Woodstock of the 90s, and Lollapalooza, Tibetan Freedom Concert, all those things that happened in the mid to late 90s. But yeah, this was kind of like a bit of a lesbian festival. I always got the feeling that it was perhaps feminist.
Yes.
I don't know. Kind of like the unshaved underarm type of crowd.
Yeah, it was the patchouli, unshaved underarm, spinning around in summer dress, lesbian concert funding by Jews for women to go to, who played folk music. And by the way, you know what? How many lesbians does it take to screw in a light bulb, Tabitha?
I don't know.
One, two. One to screw the light bulb and one to write a folk song at Lilith Fair about it. Lilith Fair, you are right, was a concert tour and traveling music Jewsic festival founded by a Canadian musician, Sarah McLachlan. You remember her?
I do, yeah.
Building a mystery.
That song.
And it was created by her New York Jewish agent, Mighty Diamond. And it took place during the summers of 1997 to 1999 and was revived in the summer of 2010, which it went down in flames because it sucked so bad. And I guess by that point, people were tired of listening to these pissed off, angry dykes play acoustic. But this is funny. So her Lilith avatar basically is a symbol of a pissed off feminist Wiccan Jewish acoustic female, I guess, feminist traveling Shoah back in the 90s.
Yeah. Even the Lilith symbol or the Lilith of, like, you know, I guess the Hebrew literature can actually shape shift between man and woman. So Lilith is kind of almost like a tranny and a demon, and also is a vampire as well.
Yes, the famous succubus, right?
Yes, yeah. Lilith is linked to either giving birth to the first vampire or being a vampire herself, and it's been linked to past Jewish superstitions that Lilith drank the blood of children while in the form of an owl. And in, like you said, more recent times, morphed into the succubus and the incubus, or the night hag who sits on the chests of men and causes them to have perverse dreams so they will ejaculate. So she's stealing the golden fluid, essentially. She could take the form of either a man or a woman. Instead, she chose to have sex with evil spirits and beget more demons.
God, it sounds like my first wife. Very interesting.
The demoness also has wings and a hairy body as well. Lilith is known to have wings and a hairy body.
That explains the two bedrooms, you know?
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, this is not a symbol that I don't think any person who was even mildly pro-white would want the slightest association with. I mean, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It sounds
yeah,
like
forget
a tranny,
white, anyone. Yeah.
It sounds like a tranny demon.
Yeah, like a tranny demon who's has a semen addiction. That's what it sounds like. Pretty crazy stuff.
Jesus Christ. But why would that be your avatar if you're a so-called white nationalist girl, you know, or woman or whatever? It's so...
No.
Okay, well, we know why. We know why.
Yeah, we know why. I think anyone who knows why knows why. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense. If you were really white, it would not make sense. But if you aren't, well, then it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Here are some of the artists that appeared in the first Lilith Fair. This is funny. Sarah McLachlan, Sheryl Crow, Tracy Chapman. Oh, you remember her? I got a fast car. Oh, man, I'm a nigger anyway. I sit at the back of the fast car. Jewel. Oh, my God. Suzanne Vega. Oh, blood makes noise, especially if you're Rh negative. Blood. My name is Juka. I live on the second floor. Fiona Crapple. Remember Fiona Apple? Fiona Crapple? Oh.
Yeah, she looks dreadful now. Yeah, she looks really bad. She's been vegan for years. Yeah, she looks like she's falling apart.
Oh, the Indigo Girls. This is funny.
I remember those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're two Diesel Dykes acoustic singers from Atlanta. Who used to open up for REM. Oh, my God. If I had a hammer and a nail, learning to use my hands. Oh, you don't have a hammer, and you definitely don't have a nail. You have a strap-on, baby. Don't worry about it.
I'm looking at a picture of them. Well, they look like... I'm looking at a picture of them now. They look more manly than, like, the dudes of, like, the current day.
No, they got more muscle tone than Michael Stipe of REM. You know, they got... Let me tell you.
That guy looks terrible. By the way,
he looks awful. He's another vegan. Meredith Brooks, Tracy Bonham. Oh, my God. Natalie Merchant from 10,000 Juziacs. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. I used to like her, actually. It's a shame that she's on there. What's that one song they had? They had I'm looking at the second stage artist, Julianne Hatfield. I've seen her live. Patty, this is just a sludge fest of just crap here, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of pissed off. Oh, my God, Pat Benatar? Really?
I guess they pulled out some of the older ones for this one. I don't know who else is old. I'm not familiar with
Dido.
All of these. Dido, yeah.
Her and Eminem showed up to do this on the... Here, Lori Carlson, Jim, Elena Davis, Beth Orton, Michelle Malone. This is fucking hilarious, folks. Anyway, there is your enough of a Julith Lilifair. Next topic, and we're getting at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to carry this over. And then the rest of the show. Sorry for the bizarre turns here, but you got to cover what's relevant when you do live radio.
Indeed.
After the break, we're going to cover... Well, you know, let's save the last full moon of the decade for the end of the show. What do you think, Tabitha?
Yeah, that sounds like a good, nice way to close out for sure.
Yeah, it's a real positive story, and it's esoteric, so I know that Sean will be real happy about it. I just had to bust your balls, man. We're going to save the esoteric for the
It'll
last 10
stuff.
Minutes, man.
It'll be good stuff, that whole
good.
Moon thing. Yeah, it's cool stuff.
I've learned to make it funny. It's the blood moon. It's going to be about, it's going to be something good. Trust me.
Oh, there we go, right there.
You know that tap? This song by David Allan Coe called Nick.
Yeah, I recognize it.
Right back.
Sucked him off time and time again. It's enough to make.
Ladies and gentlemen, the common sense of veganism. There's some vegans out there that have chickens but don't eat eggs, right? Well, what the fuck do they have them there for? What, just to molt? Jesus Christ. Imagine if one laid an egg. Bad chicken. Bad chicken. How dare you create something that people can eat? You're as bad as that cow that gets milked across the street. Bad chicken. Fuck. I mean, really, ladies and gentlemen, where has the common sense gone? It's gone to hell. We're in trouble all the time. You read about us all in the papers. We walk around and bump into walls. A blind delegation. And we ain't afraid of high power. We're bulletproof. And we never hide our Eisenhower. Just for power, justice, and truth. We're the Department.
Yes, welcome back. News white people can use. It is Thursday, 12/12/2019, 12/13 for those in the Aussie Alpines. And thanks for those listening in 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York. This is News white people can use. I am Mike Sledge. I'm the one and only WTFR, where thought is free. Radio, and my special guest once again is Tabitha from the White Wellness Show. She is an amazing talent. One of the probably, I think it is the best nutrition show that ever was invented. Ever. Oh, bottom line. You. She should be. Nope. That's a fact, Tabitha. You should be on the Food Network, but it's controlled by Jews, so you're not.
I know. That would be fun though. I would have you on as a guest chef. That would be awesome.
Oh, I would love to come on there as like the anti-Semitic Marco Pierre White.
Yeah, that could be a nice little angle. I think it would be very popular.
Yes. You know, here it would be a great cooking show we could have on the Food Network. You could host it. I could come on. Then we could get like these like British black people.
Hello.
That cook. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
I just cut out for a second. Yeah, I'm here. I just cut out for a second. What did you say?
I said, well, we could have a cooking show on the Food Network. It'd be great. You could be the host. I could come on as the, like, Nazi Gordon Ramsay or Marco Pierre White. We could hire – I like the British-speaking black sous chefs, okay? We could get them on. We could go, you call this a risotto, you fucking – All right.
No, you have to say anyway. Risotto. That's how they say it.
Oh, you call risotto. This a fucking risotto? You're not even stirring it, you lazy – fucking groid. You call this a risotto? Anyway, I would just like to do that, you know, because, you know, they can't stir that. You know, that's why you never see risotto in like a soul food. It's a lot of stirring you have to do. You have to stir the fucking risotto to keep it creamy, you know?
And you have to put a cup of water in, stir it, let it absorb, half a cup again, stir it. I mean, it's even though it's laborious and I guess it's not a favorite dish of mine. It's a little too, I don't know. I like other types of rice better, but I know it's always considered like a fancy dish, but I would rather have pasta personally.
Orzo. I like orzo.
I like that. Yeah, that's like rice pasta.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rice-a-roni, but it's not gay. It's not from San Francisco.
Yeah, it's part of rice. You can make your own rice-a-roni with that and rice and like your own chicken stock and stuff. You can make your own 1,000 times better rice-a-roni.
By the way, this is a sidetrack, and we'll get back on topic in a minute, Tabitha, but one of my family members, when I went home for Thanksgiving, the next day cooked a great meal. She had basically like a rice-a-roni meatball recipe, which was amazing. Somehow she did the meatballs with rice-a-roni and then put them in gravy over top of real mashed potatoes, and it was absolutely fucking – I got the recipe. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Very interesting pairing right there.
No, it was amazing. I mean, I sat there, yeah. And I normally don't eat a lot anymore, but I ate like 20 of these fucking things, you know?
Wow.
And then I felt like shit, and I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do? I gotta. Anyway, okay. Welcome, everybody. Now we're going to get into our topic. It is 10:35. Time for the topic of the show. Me and Tabitha have been doing research for a while, and on the music industry, and it is controlled by those that listen to our broadcast know who controls the music industry. It is controlled by the are you kidding me? Are they the Jews? That's not a surprise to those listening to this broadcast. Music, porno, movies, all forms of vaudeville and entertainment. Are you kidding me? I'm getting verklempt thinking about it. They're all controlled by the Jews. International finance. Unfortunately, I'm trying to figure out, Tabitha, where is our white privilege? We don't control movies, music, finance. I'm trying to figure out where our white privilege is. Can you tell me?
Well, I've always heard some of those people who talk about it saying it's an invisible knapsack, and it certainly is because it's non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. So we checked our white privilege, and we found out that it's running rather low. Our white privilege PowerPoints are running low, we need to do something about this. We need to take back what is ours, take back our culture, take back, first and foremost, music, entertainment, and we need to take back control of our own money. But that's a different show. But on this show tonight with Tabitha, it is about taking back control of our culture. And the best way to do that is to take back and control our own entertainment industry and our own music. And
this for sure
is what this show is really about, is about the war on Southern rock and roll, which was very big from the late 60s up until the mid 80s. And they had to destroy it and destroy Southern rock because it displaced the Jewish control centers from Hollywood, from LA and New York, and put it in places like Muscle Shoals, Alabama, in Atlanta, in Jacksonville, Florida, and in North Carolina, and they do not like that, Tabitha. That was the reason why they ultimately had to bring it down.
Yeah, they don't like that one bit whatsoever. And also, country music was always something that was intrinsically or essentially white. And now with that newfangled stuff, I don't even know if you could refer to it as country music. It's pop, essentially. It has like that auto-tuned feel. And I feel like everybody's listening to that, regardless of race. But the old stuff was really, it was white music. It was white folk music.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the real country music, you know, when I think of real country music, I think of Waylon Jennings, David Allan Coe, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams Sr., even Hank Williams Jr., a lot of other artists that I love so much, and they've destroyed that. Now you got Luke Bryan, unfortunately, from my hometown of Albany, Georgia, actually from Leesburg, Georgia. Nice guy. I knew that guy before he got big, but his music is terrible. He wears skinny jeans. Yeah. It's awful.
It is awful. It's pop. It's not country. It's like auto-tuned pop. It's really not country.
Yeah, it's like if Lady Gaga would have been born in fucking Georgia, okay? That's what it's like. It's garbage. Yeah,
it totally. It really is. And there's tons of millions of... I think that guy gets tons of views on YouTube.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're dealing with. But for a brief time in... from like 1970 to like 86, we had Southern rock bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd, like Little Feat, like David Allan Coe, who was country, who came up. Although the David Allan Coe with Dimebag Darrell from Pantera album, Rebel Meets Rebel, is an awesome album. One of the classic metal meets old country albums. This was a serious threat because the mid to late 70s through mid 80s, you had a plethora of Southern bands recording in Southern studios. Allman Brothers, one of your favorites, mm-hmm. recorded in Capricorn Studios in Macon, Georgia, not in L.A. or New York. And a lot of other artists recorded in Muscle Shoals recording studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, coming down. And a lot of the Stones recorded there, even eventually. Eric Clapton eventually recorded there. Big name artists also recorded, rock artists recorded in Capricorn Studios in Macon, which they just reopened, by the way. This was removing, and these were not studios, were not run by Jews. These were run by white Southern people, not part of the tribe. This was not a kosher run business, and it had to be brought down. It had to be brought down, Tabitha.
Yeah, definitely. Because then if it was, you know, decentralized like it was, they couldn't have, you know, their claw on all of the money. And, you know, that's obviously not okay. So, yeah, country music is really, I would say the new stuff is, like I said earlier, it's almost dead. I mean, the old sound is dead, unfortunately. I feel like it just doesn't, you don't hear it anymore. And that's true, I guess, of other types of music, too. It's all just this terrible synthetic sounding stuff. It's awful. I mean, country music was one of the folkiest musics around. It really had like that real sound of just real people music.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that they tried to destroy that they didn't like was the fact that bands like Skynyrd. Now, Lynyrd Skynyrd will claim that they're originally from Jacksonville, Florida. And you have to understand that Jacksonville, Florida, going across from the East Coast through the Panhandle, still to this day, are you there? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay. Going from the East Coast to Jacksonville, Florida, through the Panhandle of Florida, this area of Florida was actually called the Dunes Cracker Territories. Now, you know, a lot of white people are called crackers.
Mm.
Well, the original Floridian was called the Dunes Cracker. Okay? Florida used to be a very conservative state before cocaine came through Southern Florida, through the Cuban crime wave and all this kind of shit, and destroyed it. But Florida used to be a Southern state. From someone,
yeah.
I'm telling you this, I grew up in the South all my life. I remember when Florida was Southern, going all the way down to like Hollywood, Florida. It was just Miami that was like, you know, Jew Haven or whatever. It was not what it is now. Now it's totally fucking gone. But Lynyrd Skynyrd was from Jacksonville, Florida. And, you know, their symbol was the Confederate flag.
That's okay? Right. Yeah. Didn't that come under fire? Like, I'm trying to think, what was it, about 7 years ago? There was a lot of like media attention about that, it being a hate symbol, or just, it was just, they were trying to eradicate it, if memory serves correctly. Like, does that make time for reference?
They started really hitting on it down here back in like 89 to like 99 with the flag, trying to get rid of it. And of course, they got rid of it in Georgia, I believe, in 2002 with our governor, Sonny Perdue from Purdue.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. But in South Carolina, it took the the Dylann Roof shooting as the reason to get rid of it in South Carolina with the Indian Pajik governor, Nikki Haley.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is not too long ago, 2015.
Yeah.
That whore who used to fuck everything that moved as governor. She was a woman whore who used to fuck everything that moved in South Carolina. You know, coming through her convenience store, her 7-Elevens there. I'm Nikki Haley. We need to take the flag down. No, I'm just kidding around. But, you know, yeah, this is what they used to do. And Lynyrd Skynyrd had that symbol proudly. And by the way, that symbol is not a symbol of a hatred or racism. It is a symbol of greatness, of how the mm-hmm. South through the agricultural revolution came up, and it's not a symbol of any type of hatred at all. That was totally made up, by the way, by the opposition.
And, oh, yeah. Of course they would do that. I mean, I remember here the story I just found from 7 years ago, a girl who had a Confederate flag prom dress and she got banned from prom. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A Texas girl. They're saying it was offensive and inappropriate. How is that, the Confederate flag, offensive and inappropriate? To who? I think we know who.
Yeah. We know who doesn't like it because it doesn't fit the race mixing agenda, you know.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm all for, wait a minute, I've just come to the conclusion. We need to convert more black people to black Israelism, to black Hebrew. Because, you know, for so long, the Jew has sat back, right, and said, oh, we'll get blacks killing white people and white people killing blacks, right? Oy vey, and they're doing their hand-wringing. Yeah. I got a better idea. We in the white nationalist community need to promote and fund black Israelism. And then we can sit back and wring our hands and go, oh, look at it. It's Jew on Jew violence. Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that would get some popcorn ready for that one, right?
That would be great for once to be in control of something, you know? Can just sit back with the popcorn and the fucking, you know, and sit back in our big time multi-million dollar studios and watch a Jew on Jew violence.
then their own plan would backfire on them.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, it really would. We could just, their own medicine.
We could just watch their whole plan go up in flames. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd love to see this happen. God damn it. We need black people. If there's one or two of you, I know one or two of you are listening because I used to work with a couple of you and you know who I am and you dox me at work. If you're listening, become black Israelites. Oh my God. We need more of you. Okay. Oh God. Anyway, getting back to the rebel flag and Lynyrd Skynyrd. So here's the deal. We had bands like Skynyrd rising up, and the main reason that this became a problem for the Jews was not the music. They don't care what kind of music is played as long as they control it and make the money. But these were independent studios outside of the kosher Jewish industry. This wasn't in L.A. This wasn't in New York. This wasn't in Chicago. Even Memphis, by the way, was Jew-controlled by the mid-60s. Even Nashville became Jew-controlled. We're talking about separate entities, even outside traditional country music power centers. We're talking about Muscle Shoals, Alabama. We're talking about Jackson, Mississippi. We're talking about Macon, Georgia. This was a big deal. And this did not fit their narrative, and they hated it. They hated it, Tabitha, because it was moving. It was a threat to the center of where their control was over the industry.
Yeah, then they just basically have one less tentacle that they can kind of control with, essentially, and that's not good because someone who's power hungry always wants as much power as possible. When people are empowered to do their own thing, like parasites don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. And what really triggered them was this. This is an article from 2012. Now, this article you can take two ways. And your response to it when I sent it to you was interesting. You said, must be a lot of Jews in Atlanta. And you're right. There are a lot of Jews in Atlanta. But the New York Stock Exchange is moving to Atlanta. This is by Kevin Ruse. From a New York Times article from December 20th, 2012. Interesting article. And this fits into the music, by the way, folks. Okay? Now, I agree with you, Tabitha. There are a lot of Jews in Atlanta. A lot of Jews, believe me, in Atlanta. But, you know, the fact that this is back in 2012, this is before CNN basically collapsed as a legitimate news source. CNN used to be the premier news source, which was based in Atlanta, by the way, through Ted Turner. CNN was the standard in cable news. They didn't like it at that time either. Actually, Ted Turner was labeled anti-Semitic by a lot of Jewish groups in the early days of CNN because his power over CNN threatened the Jews' news organizations in New York and L.A. Remember, it's all about New York and L.A. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Those are the coasts. I mean, it's been like that for in San Francisco slightly to an extent, but it's really L.A. and New York. I mean, that's like L.A., New York, Tel Aviv. There's like a magical string, and maybe Miami, too, that goes or Boca, you know, goes around all those areas.
Yeah. Now, even though there might be Jews controlling CNN back in the day or this New York Stock Exchange kind of idea they had to move to Atlanta, they might have been, even the New York and L.A. Jews were afraid of the other type of Jew, the Benjamin Judah Jew. Benjamin Judah was the Confederate Secretary of Treasury of the Confederacy. He was a Jew, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a right-wing racist Jew. And they don't want, even if it's themselves controlling it, they still, the liberal coastal Jews, are afraid of anything moving outside of that power base. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, I think that you're completely correct with that, because that basically takes away their power, and that's the last thing that they want.
Yes. So I'm looking at this article here, and this gets back to the music, which we'll get back to in a minute. It says, the New York Stock Exchange, icon of free market capitalism, Manhattan landmark, trading floor filled with old-timey stockbrokers and blue jackets yelling orders into phones at a time. A wholly owned subsidiary of a 12-year Jewish-controlled system. Now, here's the deal. They tried to move the stock exchange before in tandem with NASDAQ last year, but the deal was called off by regulators who had antitrust concerns and also presumably balked at the idea of some freckle-faced Georgia upstart playing ball with the big boys. You see what's behind that, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I don't want a white guy there.
Yeah. Now, granted, the stock exchange doesn't really do anything anymore. As Felix Salmon points out.
What a name.
Felix Salmon. He points out. I'm just going to improvise his voice here, what I think it would sound like. I'm Felix Salmon. I'm going to point you out something here. It's little more than a tourist attraction at this point. And the vast majority of national trading has all moved to electronic exchanges, are they? Well, if what Felix is saying is true, then why would they care where it moved to, right?
I guess not. That sounded like Krusty the Clown, actually, from The Simpsons.
Did it?
Yeah.
Sorry. I used to do Krusty. I used to do a stand-up with Krusty the Clown. It was... All right. Still... Right before Christmas. Oh, my God. It happened right before the Jew's birthday.
Pretty much. That's just think about what happened when they did the Federal Reserve, when they first signed that Federal Reserve. That happened around Christmas time, too. They always have something to do on Christmas.
It was Christmas night at midnight.
Yeah.
They signed it off signy day, which is an illegal way for a parliamentary procedure with only three people voting for it. Only three senators put the Federal Reserve into action.
Disgusting.
So there you go.
Yeah. Always working on Christmas, aren't they?
Of course, because they, you know, they're happy merchants, you know, they have to make money, you know, I mean, you know, the old joke, what does a Jew say during the Christmas holidays at his shop, his retail shop?
I don't know.
Cha-ching! What a friend we have in Jesus. Anyway.
Ugh. Pretty much. I mean, they don't have to cook. They could just get the egg foo young bagel and they could be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They go, you know, on Christmas, they go to eat Chinese, right?
I know. I've heard that like years ago. But yeah, I mean, that seems so weird to me. Like, I don't know, like every Christmas I've ever had, I always ate like, you know, holiday food, like seasonal stuff. Like it's so weird to do that. But hey, for them, I guess it's not.
Jews go to, yeah, the Jews go eat Chinese buffet on Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know? Well, no, Thanksgiving they eat their own shit, but on Christmas, you know, they go do Chinese food, you know?
Yeah, that's always been a tradition. And Chinese food in the movies is what I've heard they do, those two things.
Oh, they go to the movies?
Because the movies, yeah, the movie theater always seems to be open on Christmas Day. So I guess that's who it's open for.
Oh God. I have been, you know, yeah. I think the last time I went to a movie was to take my son to see this bullshit comic book movie. Anyway, that's a different show. So I'll get into that. But,
yeah, I don't go often either. It's just, it's not worth it. It's just, it's zogged out and there's so many darn commercials, but yeah.
No, what makes me mad is the movie starts and you got an hour worth of fucking previews.
Pretty
and
much.
And then it's too fucking loud. It's like, zoom. Now you are locked in to the Zion-controlled Clockwork Orange brainwashing operation. Pretty scary.
Much. Yeah,
and then you pay like
waste.
$50 yeah. for a fucking bucket of popcorn.
Pretty much.
I'm done with it. I'm fucking. But anyway, let's
it's
move
so
on.
It's so expensive. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I don't like spending my money. I know it's going directly to Harvey Weinstein, you know? I know it's going directly to fucking fuckers.
I'm sure it's going to, like, the worst type of people you could imagine.
Oh. They are the worst. They are the bottom feeders of Judaism. If Judaism yes. wasn't bad enough, the ones that run the entertainment industry and the music industry, the Jews that run that and the porn industry, they're like the amberjack, the catfish, the scrimp, the cockroaches yes. of the Jewish sea, scrounging and feeding off of the shit of the other animals that live in the waters. It is disgusting, man. They are crab
people. Yeah, scavengers.
People.
Yeah.
Scavenger fucking oy vey bastards.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Tabitha from White Wellness joins me. I'll try to keep it on topic, folks.
Obscenity invades every area of our lives, however much we do to try and repel it. Fear of the obscene is expressed in networks of vigilance, such as campaigns for public morality. Legislation about obscenity persists, and calls for its extension are frequent. But the fascination of the forbidden is irresistible, and obscenity can seem the nucleus of English eloquence. The English were once labelled les gardames by the French. Since the 1960s, they have been les fuck-offs. And among the many inventions of English-speaking culture is that snarling expletive, a two-word anthem for the Anglosphere. The Language Wars by Henry Hitchings.
I was one of the chosen few to be born in Alabama. I'm just like my daddy's son. I'm proud of who I am. I went through a lot of good women and shook old Jim Beam's hand. If I never see the pearly gates, I will walk through the promised land. Just as soon stay home. If they don't have a grand old Opry like you do in Tennessee, just send me to hell or New York City. It would be about the same to me. I got wild honey trees and crazy little weeds growing around my shack.
WTFR.
Yes, news white people can use, December 12th, 2019, with my special guest Tabitha from the one and only White Wellness Show right here on WTFR, where thought is free radio. Thanks for tuning in, and I just got to say, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I got grease all over me from this tire change. During the break, I was trying to smoke an organic cigarette. You know, I quit smoking. I only smoke organic cigarettes now. Yeah, right. No. And I'm trying to get this grease off my hands, and I need some fucking lava soap. The lava soap does work. The lava soap does work. The regular soap won't get the fucking grease off your hands from a goddamn tire change. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to go out after the show and buy some lava. I can't go to work like this in the morning. I look like a fucking grease monkey. I look like one of those black Israelites that... anyway, Tabitha, hour two. Sorry for the weird show tonight. I'm all over the place. I know I am. You know, I probably should have stayed on Adderall when I was a kid. I apologize, but... So, one of the things that we had talked about chatting online, of course, but off live radio, was the fact that one of your favorite experiences was seeing the Allman Brothers with your dad. And
yeah.
I'd like you to maybe talk about that a little bit. That was a great experience for you, and I think it's very important.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to elaborate on that. Well, yeah, first time I ever saw them was back in 1997 over at Jones Beach, actually. And they were still with Dickie Betts was still in the band. This was before he was, I believe, booted out for drug use or alcohol use or something like that after a while, I think, of being off and on trying to give it up. But I think because of bad behavior, they got rid of him. So anyway, I got to see him with them, and it was a really cool show. And then I ended up seeing them six times more with him and with other people at the same time. But he was always there. My dad was always there, and we saw them together. So seven times altogether I've seen them. One time I saw them front row. That was really cool at the Beacon Theater in New York City. And he, of course, saw them back when the Fillmore East used to be around. The Fillmore West is still around in San Francisco. I've passed by it many times in the Fillmore. But the Fillmore East has been gone since, I don't know, a lot of really great bands played there back in the day. And he saw them, I think, March of 91. That YouTube video that I sent you of that Allman Brothers Band, like Greatest Hits Collection or Live at the Fillmore. Yeah, that's a great show in general. I mean, I guess I kind of prefer listening sometimes to like their older classic stuff, but it was great seeing them in concert. I think also Derek Trucks from the Derek Trucks Band, and he had been there. And Warren Haynes, also another person who played with the Allman Brothers. So yeah, it was quite an experience. And they have two drummers too, I believe. Just like the
Government Mule, Warren Haynes.
Government Mule, yeah, that's right. And also Phil Leschenfranz, he's with them too. He's been like the guy's with like tons of... groups. But yeah, it was a cool experience, and it's usually a cool crowd too. You get kind of a mix of bikers and like other types of people. You get some people who are also, there's a crossover with some people who like Grateful Dead and like Allman Brothers, and then you get kind of like the biker crowd as well at like a show. So it's an interesting cross-section of people.
Well, what I like about it is it's an interesting cross-section of white people, and I remember talking to Sean on Skype like last week, and Sean said, you know, we were talking about, it's when I ate all those gummies.
Oh yeah.
That was Sunday. I ate a mushroom and some gummies and I was tripping out. And so I talked to Sean for a while. And he said, you know, we got these hippies that promote WTFR all over the place. You know, they're like Grateful Dead people, whatever, that go around these pirate radio channels and promote and throw out our shows on there. And really, you know, what's interesting is the thing I disagree with a lot of people on the right is I think that we have a natural base in the true left. I think the true white left should be on our side, ultimately. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, not the people who were the SJW who were just, like, completely and vehemently anti-white and are full of, like vitriol for, like, the white race. Not those people, but the ones who were anti-Israel, the ones who were anti-establishment, those type, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think it's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I've actually had some good conversations with Grateful Dead people. As a matter of fact, the first show I did, my co-host was a deadhead who agreed with our politics, who was a deadhead, who was my co-host and my producer of Nonconformity Live, Dave Love, going back to the Oracle days. So, yeah, there is a crossover here.
You cut out again for a second. I can't hear you.
Oh, I cut out?
Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why this is happening tonight, but I just lost you again for about 20 seconds. You were saying your old Dave Love. What were you saying?
Yeah. Let me ask the chat. Am I cutting in and out, folks, tonight, besides being drunk?
Sean is saying it's on my side. I think it's me. I've had odd internet all day. I thought I fixed it earlier, but it's still happening.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, but this Skype thing is the problem too. Skype recently has been cutting a lot of shit in and out since the updates. You know, every time one of these Jew software companies goes, it's time for an update.
It's always time for an update.
And by the way, Tabitha, quit doing your show out the back of White Castle parking lot, okay?
You caught me. I was hungry. You know I don't cook.
She wanted a sack full of White Castle, and she's going to steal their Wi-Fi.
I wanted to try their new tranny burger, so that's why I was there.
Oh, my God. If White Castle, they already have the tranny burger already. But could you imagine?
They do. Could you imagine what?
If they actually advertised it as a tranny burger, like, we're going to a plant-based product, even though our old product is 70% soy, greasy Hawaiian roll with fat grease and onions, smoked, steamed in a fucking steamer for,
You know what I was just thinking about? Why don't these fast food giants who were touting these tranny burgers, why don't they use some vile drag queen to be the spokesperson for their burger?
Hey, they could put RuPaul as their
exactly
symbol, right?
Somebody like that, and they can say it's work, they can make some joke about it being real or something.
Supermodel work.
That was the first tranny I ever saw.
Will you two stop stealing my fucking material? Will you two stop stealing my fucking material? I've been calling
How
them.
How is that your material?
No. I've been calling them Skike since Microcunt. Hey.
Oh. Okay. I didn't say
I'm sorry,
it.
Sean, I didn't know that.
I'm loving this show. I've been rolling around in laughter through the whole fucking thing, just loving it. All right, I'll leave you to it. Stop stealing my fucking material.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, I got to say one thing before you go, as always.
Yeah.
I feel like the Carlos Mencia of anti-Semitic radio now.
Did you see what Wolf wrote earlier? He wrote,
what was that?
Hold on a second, where is it? I've got to find it now. He said that he's on the hobo wine. You know, when you've got to you're going to listen to be listening to a Mike Sledge show, not slow or slow mo, but a Mike Sledge show. You'll get it right on the night. You have to fucking be drinking the hobo wine. I fucking laughed my ass off.
No, let me tell you something. I like that. I actually made some hobo wine. I put the balloon on top of this fucking old Carlo Rossi bottle, and I fermented like grapes and plums and shit, and put the balloon on top of it and let it ferment in my closet in the dark, and then I drank it. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've been on the beer. Somebody else said earlier too, I think it was Wolfie as well, that what you need to do when you're listening to a Mike Sledge show is drink some wine, drink some beer, and drink some bourbon or something to that thing. And don't quote me verbatim. But I was thinking, yeah, he's fucking right.
Let me tell you, what you need to do to one of my shows is smoke some crystal meth. I'm just saying this just to make Tinia. I'm hoping she'll get upset.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to trigger the
yeah. So, no, absolutely. Yeah, we've got to smoke some crystal meth. We've got to sink 12 beers. We've got to drink some fucking grape juice, known as wine. We've got to shoot some fucking heroin. We've got to sniff some cocaine. And then and only then will she be happy. All right, I'm going to let you have your show back because I shouldn't have even intervened.
Right.
But you were still on my fucking material, I tell you.
I'm sorry with the sky. I didn't know that was your joke.
No, you and I are brothers from another mother. We come up with the same shit. All right, have a good show.
All right, Chuck. All right, Tabitha, continue with your story.
What was I talking about? I guess I was talking about the tranny burgers. That's it. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So
yes,
I'm wondering why they aren't using these trannies as advertising pieces. Like that was one of the first trannies I ever remember seeing on the Talmud Vision, like in the mid 90s, like on spring break. You probably remember that too.
Oh God. Yes.
Right. Yeah, it was so weird. I remember like watching it and thinking, what is this? It was troubling. And this was when there was like, you know, one on television. Now it's everywhere.
Yeah, the day that White Castle or Crystals, we have Crystals in the South here. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not. What is that, a burger chain?
Crystals is White Castle of the South. It's exactly the same as White Castle, but it's called Crystals.
Got it.
But those of us in the South know it as Sliders. And the reason we call it Sliders is because the only time you eat at Crystals, which is the White Castle of the South, is when you're wasted at 3 a.m. and you pull up to the drive-thru to sober up so you won't get a DUI. And you pull up to the drive-thru and you're like, give me a sack full of cheese crystals. God damn it. Oh, I got to get home. I got like 5 blocks. And you pull in the parking space, and you eat the whole fucking thing, you drink the fucking soda, and you sit there for 5 minutes, smoke a joint, and you drive home. But anyway.
I'm just seeing them right now. They look exactly like a White Castle. Wow.
Yeah.
They really do. They look exactly like it.
Yeah, I used to have a joke. I used to call it William Crystals, you know, the Jew of politics. So I bought it, you know, and they're all square because, you know,
yes. They're
Freemasons, you know, and you get 33 crystals to a sack. So you're all squared away with the square 33 crystals to the sack at William Crystals. You know, you have to
of
be
course.
Drunk to think of that. But anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
I mean, I haven't been to White Castle in I don't even know how long it's been, decades. But yeah, this is always like the lowest of the low. It seems like the White Castle, like you really go there when you're just looking to fill yourself with something, just calories. That's all it seems to be.
You know, it's funny how black people love to eat at White Castle.
Yeah, I've noticed that. That is true. Even at the ones around here, I wonder what that's. I guess everyone associates the word white with like purity and excellence and things of that nature.
Well, those burgers ain't excellence, I'll tell you that.
No, they certainly aren't.
Although, if you smoke enough weed and drink enough when you go there, they taste like pure gourmet shit.
Well, it makes me think of that movie, that Harold and Kumar movie, where those two guys like just dream of White Castle the whole movie, and they finally get there, and they're like in some type of ecstasy.
The two Pajits go to White Castle.
Yeah, one's Korean, one's Dravidian, right?
Okay, yeah. In reality, if that movie was made today, the Pajit would be the owner of the White Castle.
Yes. Right?
And the Korean guy would be like the marketing analyst guy for the district for White Castle. And the only person eating there would be the gay white guy, Doogie Howser, Patrick Neil Harris.
Yeah, that guy's flaming. He was an ecstasy in that movie. And he was like totally into the guy. I guess he totally into women in that movie, but he's really into guys in real life, apparently.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry.
I watched that show growing up, too. I had no idea.
Yeah, I used to call it Dookie Hazard. And the Dookie Hazard MD.
One of those anyway, 90s sorry. Shows, yeah.
That's a horrible joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, anyway. I guess it's kind of accurate, though.
Well, he had an anal prolapse from all his Harvey Weinsteins. But anyway, getting back to the topic.
Yeah. Oh, that was race mixing in this movie, too. Just one more thing to say. There was race mixing in this Harold and Kumar movie. The Dravidian fellow has a hot redheaded girlfriend or wife or something like that. I think girlfriend.
Yeah. So, and they bought their weed from the two Jewish students at school. Remember?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen these films in quite some time. But it doesn't ring a bell. That's right. Yeah, the two Jews at the school. Yeah.
They were like the weed dealers. The two Jewish they were the guys weed Jews. Had like the Israeli flags. They were like the two Howard Stern weed dealers at the dorm who sold the weed to the Korean and the Pajit who wanted to get high and hang out with a faggot white guy on ecstasy and go eat at White Castle. God damn.
And
only a Jew.
The director of this film, Jewish. Danny Lehner.
Jesus Christ.
Every
Only
single
a Jew could come up with this, you know? I could never write a script like this, you know?
I know. I think my mind would go somewhere else if I was writing something like that. It would just, I don't know, just wouldn't be my train of thought.
All right. Now, I've got you off track through my dyslexia and ADD.
No
and
problem.
Alcohol.
People are enjoying
the sorry.
Program.
I know. But I'm sorry. I am a horrible. Let me tell you something. I do show notes for all my shows, and I very rarely stick to them. That's why I told you the last time we did a show, I said no notes. Let's just go.
Yeah,
skeleton.
And it was a great show, and everyone was really into it. So I think sometimes this organic quality, like even that little impromptu thing I did yesterday with Sean, like it just rolls that way. I think it's real good.
Yeah, and by the way, I love your Hitler veggie thing too. You did. Was amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just did that this morning. Just Sean asked if I could just put something together about this, and I was like, yeah. I'm like, this is one of those things that I've been on the fence for a while, wondering what was real and what wasn't. But it feels good to be able to put that out there, because that tends to be something that is a rumor that oftentimes gets a lot of attention. So it's good to shed some light on that.
Tabitha, you know, I used to get mad about it when I was a Hitler lover because I'd say, God damn it, the vegans are trying to make him into a vegan and all this kind of stuff. They're turning, and this whole story, the greatest story never told. It's like they're trying to turn Hitler into Jesus or something. And here's the bottom line. I really don't give a fuck about Hitler anymore. And this is going to piss off a lot of people. I really don't care. He did a horrible job at getting rid of the Jew problem, okay? A horrible job. We had more Jews after World War II than before. So I really don't give a fuck whether he was a vegetarian, not a vegetarian. He failed. He was a failure in his mission. He did not do it good enough.
Yet he's hated. He's hated by everybody. I mean,
we'll
figure.
I'm mad at him because he didn't get rid of these fuckers.
Well, he tried. But yeah, I know what you mean about the whole the people who kind of like fetishize Hitler. And I'm obviously I'm for him. I'm not anti him. But some people are just like they're fetishizing it, and they're living in the past and just using that as their only modality, which I think can be limiting and a touch dangerous, actually.
Yeah, I think, you know, I get tired of talking about World War II all the time. What am I, a fucking World War II reenactment player? What am I? I feel like one of these idiots. I go to these Southern festivals where they're reenacting the Civil War with fake bullets. You know, well, I'm on the Confederacy. I'm on the Union side. We're going to dress up in uniforms. I've had enough of the cosplay. I've had enough of the reenactments. This is 2019, fixing to be 2020. I want to know what we're going to do right now to fuck these people up. I'm serious. I am dead serious. I want to know. I'm tired of talking about what happened 80 years ago. I want to know.
Yeah. You what's know? Next, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I'm sick of it. I'm fucking sick and tired of living in World War II. This is not. This is the United States of America 2019. This isn't goddamn Germany 1933. It's a whole different fucking ballgame. And Europe today is mostly Muslim. It's not even the Europe that he fucking led. We need a whole different fucking program today. And so I get sick and tired of living in the past, Tabitha. I'm tired of living in the past. I'm not a fucking a director of an antique museum or a history museum. This show, I want to be relevant to what's happening today, you know?
Yeah, I think we can learn from the past. I think definitely we can learn from the past and look at their template. But to constantly just be in it and just kind of wonder all these things about it or say, this is the way this happened. I mean, the most important thing with World War II is getting the real story out there, not quibbling over, you know, little kind of splitting hairs. Not that I think the whole vegetarian thing is a small potatoes issue. I think that's really important, especially now with this whole rise of veganism and so many whites, especially going down that road and suffering quite miserably because of it. So I do think that's important. But yeah, I think we can learn from it and go forth with that information.
Yeah. And I agree with what Sean said in the chat. I think without Hitler, we wouldn't be where we are today. I totally agree. I totally respect what he tried to do. I'm not
sure.
And hear me out. I'm not dissing the guy. I'm just saying that there are some people in this movement. That's all they fucking talk about, and they're not dealing with the topics that are happening right now. If Hitler was alive today, he would say, we need to deal with the Lügenpresse, you know, the Jew press, the Jew lying press, now, not in 1933. It's a different animal today. The alt media, many in the alt right, many in the alternative media are the new Lügenpresse. It's a different system today than it was then. It's not the paper anymore. It's the cyber networks. It's the internet. This is a different animal. Mm-hmm. So I love Adolf Hitler, by the way. I'm not trying to diss him. He was my favorite historical figure. Let me tell you something. I'm not dissing him. I'm just saying that I don't obsess over history. You need to learn from history. But the mistakes from history, you then move forward and try not to do those same mistakes over again, right? You know.
Yeah, you want to learn from what happened, and you want to move past that, but you don't want to stay like locked into that or like fetishize it. I mean, it's definitely a good reference, and it can looking at old pictures can kind of get you jazzed up and say, oh wow, look at that unity, that was really great. But to constantly be in that mode of like in the past. It's just, I think it's going to cause you to stagnate in the present.
Yeah, but I just want to clarify that. I love, anybody that knows me knows that I love Adolf Hitler. You know, I'm not trying to
same.
Diss the
guy. I'm not either.
Frustrated.
Certainly not.
I get so frustrated, Tabitha, because I hear, you know, I think this is why we're losing against the enemy we face, you know, against the Jew enemy that we face, is that we're caught up in nostalgia. You know, our enemy that is beating us lives and focuses on how to screw us now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not going back in time. you know, they're not following the share. I call it the share doctrine. If I could turn back time.
Right? Pretty much.
You can't
yeah.
turn back time. God damn it. It's over with. You got to yeah. live in the now. You got to live in the now. This is important. Our enemy lives in the now. We have to live in the now. We have to have an agenda and a focus that defeats them today. And it's a different ballgame today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. It totally is, especially with the way our technology is. I mean, a message can get across to somebody in a matter of seconds, right? So there's definitely that right there. We're living in a much faster world as opposed to someone sending a telegram or, you know, dropping leaflets from the sky. I mean, it's totally been changed. And I think another thing that people sometimes in these circles tend to fetishize is like, you know, vintage culture, like let's say pre-immigration or pre, like when did that happen? 1965 here in the States with the whole immigration like laws. I think a lot of people tend to kind of fetishize the way this country was before that happened and then just not move forward with it. I see a lot of that as well.
Yeah. And this is the thing that I deal with where I live in the South of the United States, of the United States, is that older white people, boomer white people, mm-hmm. not trying to cause generational warfare here, but it's the truth. They don't understand that we've already been flooded with the immigration bomb. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are not the majority that we used to be. We have to deal with it. They're here now.
Yeah.
They're here. We have to deal with this. This is reality. It's not, well, I just don't want to live in Mexico. Bitch, you are living in Mexico. Okay?
Yeah, they don't really realize it. I guess it's right happened now. Slowly. Yeah, you really are. You certainly are. But a lot of those people who were just of that generation, some of them just want to collect their Social Security and just kind of, you know, retire. They don't want to be bothered with any of this. I've talked to them firsthand, and a lot of them are just like, you know, you're wasting your time. And I don't think
I'm not a boomer or a senior citizen, but I want to collect my Social Security now and die because I don't think I'm going to get it when it's time to die.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen for the Gen Xers, right? Or this generation.
It's going to be stolen for wars for Israel. It's, you know, my Social Security money has already been spent on Iraq, Libya,
yep.
Afghanistan, you know, these fuckers. Yep. You know, where's my fucking heroin in the nursing home while I'm eating fucking vanilla ice cream, fading away on a fucking, with an IV in my arm, watching fucking the Jerry Springer show all day? Where's that for me? Where is it for me, goddammit?
That doesn't sound very, very good. That sounds, I don't know.
Right now. It sounds better than going to a job.
Okay, maybe that. There's got to be some happy medium between those two types of things, though. Because that home and those assisted living facilities are dreadful. I'd hope so.
Well, maybe a little bit. You know, if I could have the IV and the smack and the vanilla ice cream with the internet in my new mattress. I got a new memory foam mattress, which is amazing, by the way. If I could just collect Social Security and shoot up morphine and eat vanilla ice cream and watch Hitler videos on the internet and fade out, I'd be okay with that.
And you could do the broadcast from the memory foam bed as well. Just hang out in there
I'm doing it from the memory foam bed right now.
Oh, okay. At my desk, actually. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a desk. I got rid of the desk. I do all my shows now from my new memory foam mattress, by the way.
Oh, okay. And I'm always at my desk.
I lay down. And I had the laptop like on a table in front of my memory foam pad. And I have like a little side table where I keep the booze on it. And I put it on a swastika. What's that shit called that you put your beer on so it won't spill on the table?
A coaster.
I have a swastika coaster that I put my beer on. Yeah, I do this Tabitha, don't ever doubt my professionalism here. You know?
No, I'm not. I just learned the other day that if you take the herb turmeric and you make a swastika on the main door of your house, it keeps it safe from negative energy. Across upon
her bedroom wall. Here it is. Typo negative. That's the break. Good. I like what you just said, Tabitha. Great. You are listening to the news. Can you back on the other side of the break? The smack is kicking. Sorry, folks.
I don't think I want to know a six-year-old who isn't a dreamer or a silly heart. And I sure don't want to know one who takes their student career seriously. I don't have a college degree. I don't even have a job. But I know a good kid when I see one. Because they're all good kids. Until dried-out, brain-dead skags like you drag them down and convince them they're no good. You so much as scowl at my niece or any other kid in this school and I hear about it, I'm coming looking for you. Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
Yeah, news white people can use. Wolfie J in the chat room, I like chocolate. You better clarify that's ice cream you're talking about, my friend. This is a white nationalist chat room. You better make sure that chocolate is ice cream, my friend. Damn it, where's the band hammer? No, I'm just kidding around. I remember back in the old days, like on Stormfront and shit, when I used to post there. You could get like halfway through a post and be like, I like chocolate. Boom! God damn, what happened to me? I was struck by lightning. Oh God, you're a Jew. I'm a Jew now. Okay. All right. I know, Whoopi J. I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you, brother. Just having some fun here. We don't take things too seriously on this broadcast. This is News White People Can Use. Actually, we do take it seriously, but you know what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
Anyway, Tabitha, yeah, I agree with you. By the way, I agree with your comment as well in the chat during the break. It better not be that Walmart glue, that Elmer's glue vanilla. It better be real vanilla bean.
Super premium, though. It's got to be like the one with less air and more butterfat. Otherwise, it's just nasty and sugary and just ugh.
Yeah. It's like all corn syrup and like Elmer's glue.
Yeah, disgusting. Horrible texture.
And you can buy it. Oh, God, it's awful. You can't even cut. You know, my favorite, I like the gelato, personally. The sea salt
like
caramel
that?
Gelato. Yeah. Yeah, I like the sea salt caramel gelato. I like that.
Yeah, I've had a gelato before, but I feel like I like the ice cream better because it's got like a better mouthfeel, and like a little bit more. It's more custardy. Frozen custard is supposed to be like the richest of all the frozen desserts, from I guess you'd say Granita, going all the way up to frozen custard.
Yeah. Okay, do you like flan?
I do like flan, but I love creme brulee. Like flan is like a creme brulee where the top, you know, it's all like watery. Like creme brulee is amazing. I had one last night, actually. It was really, really good. One of my favorite desserts, though, was creme brulee.
Do you make that?
Yes, I do. I actually have a little torch, too. You bake the custard in like a bain-marie, like in a water bath, and then you let it chill. And then right before you're going to eat it, you sprinkle the top. And you really have to use like white sugar. So this is one of the recipes I do use it for. And you sprinkle it over the top, and then you take your pastry flamer or your little torch, and you just torch over the top, and then you have your spoon and you crack into the brittly top, and you smooth into the soft custard. It's wondrous.
Man, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good.
You can actually crack. You said spoon and crack. I'm all excited now, and I'm just kidding around.
But yes, it's delicious. You can actually I've used to do a white Russian version of creme brulee using Kahlua. That would be that's a quite nice dessert. And you can serve it with like those little French cookies called tuiles, those very flat cookies that you kind of hang over a rolling pin when they're warm, so they get like a, you know, shaped into like a little, like a, you know, kind of taco or like a little cigar. But yeah, that's a proper way to serve it with like some raspberries and stuff. But one of the classiest, best desserts, in my opinion.
You know, it's interesting, Tabitha, is in the South, you know, my aunt and my grandmother, they would play bridge. They'd have these bridge parties at their houses, and they would drink the sweet sherry in these little shot glasses and have like scones. Okay. Mm. They'd have scones and drink sweet sherry and play bridge. This was an old Southern way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
An old Southern. And I remember as a kid, I used to go over to my aunt's house, and she would have the brandy tray. They had a tray that was on with the glass, this beautiful like chandelier glass holder that this sherry was in, and these little sherry glasses. And I remember I would go in there when I was like 10, 11 and sneak little shots of sherry, you know, at her house. And then she'd wonder why I was having such a great time. oh, God, I guess I started early.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever drank that sweet sherry. I've mostly, if anything, used sherry like in a culinary way, like, you know, for cooking and stuff like that. But the sweet sherry, I guess, is kind of an old school. I think I used to know an elderly lady who used to like sweet sherry. It's an old school beverage.
Oh, yeah, it's old school beverage. And you can meet the most anti-Semitic old white ladies at the garden club with the white gloves, drinking the sweet sherry, playing bridge. This is where the female clan meets, okay, in the South, at the garden clubs, okay, at the...
Yeah, and there they are with their fancy beverages and their fancy scones and their fancy dress, just living it up.
Damn, Wolfie's gone? I'm looking at the chat.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Good night, Wolfie. Don't eat no chocolate ice cream when you go to bed, man. I hate when these guys... We only got... What, you can't stay up for 20 minutes?
Yeah, we only got about 20 minutes left. The show went by pretty quickly.
20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Where are you going, man?
He'll catch it tomorrow, like you said. It's always just nice to wake up and... Hey, we say scones here. You guys say scones. We do not say it that way. And just like what you guys call a scone, we call a biscuit. And when you guys call a biscuit, we call a cookie. But we say scones. We don't say scones. The Brits say scones.
Yeah, we say scones here in the South. What do you want from me?
Yeah, we have different ways to see stuff. You guys say banana, and we say banana. So
yay, Wolfie! Stay up. He's going to stay up. I don't want Wolfie to go. I like Wolfie being here. Wolfie, you're not going nowhere. We only got 22 minutes left.
I ain't a Brit, by the way. Drink. I'm a fucking Australian. I'm not a Brit. Knock it the fuck off.
I know you're not a Brit, but I was just saying that's my history with scones. The first time I ever heard someone make
fucking
a scone, they were Brits.
Yeah, whatever. Scones,
well,
my
you,
ass.
You say banana different than the Brits say it. The Brits say banana different.
I say, don't even start, Wolfie. I'll fucking come over there. I'll fly over there, and I'll give you a fucking hiding. It's banana. It's not banana. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Get back to your show for fuck's sake.
Banana.
and it's also orange, not orange, right?
Orange? Hey, what do you say, tomato or tomato?
Tomato.
I say tomato.
Tomato? What the fuck is wrong with you people? Jesus.
And we say broccoli. Hey. We don't say broccoli.
No, I say broccoli.
We say broccoli.
Oh, there's something fucked up about it. Yeah?
Or Sean, it's not basil, it's basil.
That's right.
Oh, you know what? You know what really shit me? When I went to Texas, someone called it puma instead of a puma. A fucking big black cat that's about to eat your face off.
That's how we say it.
It's a puma, not a puma.
That reminds me of sneakers. I only wear K-Swiss because the traction, when you walk on the sand, says KKK on the bottom. I only buy K-Swiss now.
Yeah. All right. I'll leave yous to it because you don't know how to talk properly. Go fuck yourselves.
And it's zebra. It's not zebra. We say zebra here in the States, not zebra.
It's
like
a zebra. It's a zebra.
Yeah, they say zebra.
Yeah, it's a zebra.
What the fuck is a zebra?
A zebra.
Yeah, it's a zebra. Yeah, whatever. No, whatever. Now you're just taunting me. Yeah, all right. Finish off your show, you bastards.
I think it's actually really cool that we all say the same words differently because we all speak English. We're all white, but we all say stuff differently. I think it's actually really cool. The only white accent that really creeps me out is a New Zealand accent. And I was talking to Sean about that earlier today.
Yeah,
that is the weirdest white accent in the world. It is just so weird.
You're going to get a rise out of those New Zealanders. I tell you what, they've got a bit of a temper on them. Instead of saying biscuit, they say buskut. And when they're saying, how you going, Phil? They say, how you going, Phil? And I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, that is creepy. No doubt about it. Jimmy used to say to me, there's no language barrier between white Western civilization. There's an accent barrier. And that's where it is. You know, when I say puma, people in Texas were going, what's a puma? Right? And when I said the word beetroot when I was ordering a sandwich, they said, what the hell? Do you mean beets? And I went, the purple thing. The ugly purple thing that you get out of a can. You know? It was like, oh, God. I'll let you two finish. Sorry, I didn't mean to... I don't mean to cut in, but on the same token, it's a bit of fun.
It's good humor. It's good humor.
I stayed in Texas for many years. It is my least favorite of the southern states. I'm going to piss off a lot of people now.
So now we've pissed off the Texans and the New Zealanders.
Yeah. Like that's some fighting words right there. You know, if you put them together, we're in a lot of trouble.
No, look.
No, I like both of those people. I have no problem. I was just saying, I think a New Zealand accent's a little unusual sounding. They might think I sound funny. So whatever, it's fine.
The Texans. I found the best to be able to get along with. They were very laid back, like us Aussies.
Yeah, I love Texas.
Yeah, like us Aussies.
Half my family is from Texas, Sean, so I can't diss it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear. And, you know, even being down then in North Carolina and then South Carolina, they were very much like the Texans as well.
Georgia, baby. Georgia's where it's at.
There we go. One day it'll happen, Mike. You know it will. One day it'll happen. I'll let you finish because you've only got just over 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. Right.
God damn it. Yeah. The show's almost already over. God damn it.
Yeah, we really, it always goes by quickly, but yeah.
It's the only fun I have all day.
I really hope that's not true.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Oh,
anyway.
East Tennessee, Wolfie. Let me tell you something. I love Tennessee. I used to live in Asheville, North Carolina for a while. I used to go over to Tennessee. Beautiful. Dude, Tennessee. I even love parts of Arkansas. And I love everything in the Southern Crescent. Yeah, I'm a redneck guy, but I love New York City too. I love parts of New York. I love parts of Pennsylvania. But anyway, Tabitha, come on.
Yes. So what were we talking about before all of that? I think I don't know. We went from talking about tranny meat to talking about ice cream, creme brulee, and then accents.
Yeah, I want Sean to call this the news white people can use Adderall show. This is the Adderall show. You know, when you do Adderall, you're all over the place.
That's a terrible drug. Terrible. It's basically pharmaceutical cocaine. That's all it is.
God, I know. You're better off doing the real shit. You know?
Well, I wouldn't recommend either, but probably, you know, if you had to pick a lesser evil, sure.
I remember one time I did Adderall and cocaine together. Boy, I was a big mess. I could only say stuff back. you know?
Yeah, I could imagine that would not be a good like broadcasting law.
I was like a fucking Jew. I was reading right to left instead of left to right. The Adderall, because I'm not dyslexic, so the Adderall and the Coke fucked me up, and I started reading right to left instead of left to right. So that's how I learned how the Jews controlled everything, was I accidentally, when I was younger, took Adderall and cocaine, and I realized we're living under a Jewish conspiracy, because I only could read things right to left, and I realized it was all fake. That's a joke, folks. I'm just kidding around.
Oh, of course.
Anyway. Tabitha knows me. She knows I'm a joker.
Oh, yeah. I know you're a humorist for sure.
I mean, believe, well, when I talk about politics, believe everything I say. When I talk about shit like that, don't believe any of it. But but going back, because we've got 15 minutes left, and I want you to round out this show, Tabitha, because it's such an honor to have you on again. And
I wholeheartedly appreciate that, for sure.
I love shows with you because...
Me too.
You are like so... the word I'm looking for. You're like the straight man, the straight chick.
I hope so.
Oh yeah, you're not the straight man. I'm sorry. you're a straight chick. You're the anyway. Round out this thing with your Southern Rock Allman Brothers thing we were talking about before. God damn, was that an hour ago?
Probably, yeah. So I've seen them 7 times, all here in my home state of New York. Seen them, you know, at a bunch of different venues and, you know, with a bunch of different people in the band. So I got to, you know, they have a different sound, of course, and, you know, new songs as I got more into it. And I'm trying to think the last time I saw them in concert. It's been some while. And of course, now that Greg Allman is gone, right? I don't even know if they're really playing anymore. And my dad died in 2012. So all these concerts were between, I guess, 97 and maybe 2010 or something like that. But yeah, it was fun. A lot of good energy at these concerts. And like you said earlier, whites. I mean, at the time, I don't think I realized what it was, because that's always what it was, you know, growing up where I grew up. But now, I mean, I haven't been to a concert and I don't even know how long it's been. I really don't do that anymore. I don't know who I'd really see in concert. Plus, when you have to go through that, you know, thing, I mean, they basically want your social security number and they want to smell your underwear. I mean, it's awful. You have to basically submit to a full cavity search. The same thing is true when you fly. I mean, who wants, they take your snacks away. I mean, they take everything away from you. It's horrible. But yeah, I saw them quite a bunch of times, but it was all pre-2012. But I did used to enjoy concerts. I even, many years back, went to a couple of Dead shows. Didn't actually go in to the concerts, but hung out in the parking lot, just selling some baked goods, and had a wonderful time. It was great.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead shows are funny. I went to one. I never was a Grateful Dead kind of person, but my old roommate was a big Deadhead acid freak. And he goes, dude, you're going with me to the show, Mike. Because I was into like Slayer and metal. I was a heavy metal guy. I was like a death black metal kind of guy. You know, I like Screwdriver. I liked like white nationalist punk, death metal, Burzum, Norwegian punk, Norwegian metal, black metal, death metal. That's what I was into. Even going back to the 90s. So he said, Mike, I want you to, because you know how these hippies are always concerned about you when you're not a hippie. They're like,
I know.
Listen, Mike, listen to me, man. You're full of hate. You just need to let it go. Okay. Okay. I don't know what caused this, but here's what I'm going to do. I bought you a ticket to the Grateful Dead show. I have a hit of window pane acid. Okay. Which is like 4 hits in one. I would love for you to go with me. I'm going to give you this hit of window pane acid. Put it on your tongue. I've already got it paid for. Let's go to the show. So I take the acid. I go to the fucking Grateful Dead show. And I fucking hated it. Okay? It stunk in there. It smelled like a bunch of stinking hippies with a bunch of women with fucking hair on the underarms. And the acid made the hair look bigger under their arms. And I was hallucinating. And it looked like they had buckwheat in a fucking arm lock under every woman there wearing sundresses, spinning around. And the vegan hot dog pissed me off in the parking lot. And these other two assholes go, hey, man, you have $5. I need to hit ass. And I said, God damn it. I told my friend, I said, where the fuck have you taken me? What is this fucking Osho? What is this, a Jim Jones concert?
It has that culty vibe for sure. I remember one time being in a concert. I'm sure it was terrible, right? It was just, especially, I've never done that type of drug at these concerts. And it's only been a couple of them. And this was, you know, years ago. But one time this drunk guy who was quite a bit older than me and my friend, he's like, I'll give you this bead and this shell for a beer, man. And I'm like, we don't have any beer.
Bead and a shell? What are they fucking bartering fucking sea shells now at these shows?
Yeah. And it was this little itty bitty shell, this little itty bitty bead. And like, we didn't need that. But the guy was like, I've met some real crazy people, and people, the BO at these concerts, like you said, is like,
oh God,
it rivals Dravidian BO. It's awful.
No, it rivals a fucking Pajit 7-Eleven on Sunday after 12:30 when the niggers buy Colt 45. It really Dravidian is that BO. Bad, folks.
Yeah. It's bad. Like, and it's baked into them. It's baked into their clothing, because these people will wear the same sundress on tour for, like, I don't know, weeks, a month, whatever. And all you can do is, like, you can smell that half-baked in BO. It's unbelievable.
They're not half-baked.
Well, they're probably fully baked. They're fully baked. They're fully baked, and they have fully baked BO. I mean, I remember one time being in a concert, and the two people who I was talking to in the lot, me and my friend were talking to them, and, like, she was like, they were so nice, but they smelled terrible. And I was like, yeah, they really did.
No,
it was horrible.
Weird. And the women would spin around. They do the spinning dance in these with their underarm hair. And I was tripping on acid. And they're doing this spinning dance with the underarm hair. And then they get on their knees and they praise Jerry Garcia. Like on their knees, like he's some kind of rock god. And I'm like, dude, this is a fat Jewish fucking gray-haired fuck that didn't even remember the words from Touch of Grey, you fucking cunt. What the hell are you talking about? Even
you know
the acid, I can realize this guy can't even sing I'm Touchy Gray. He can't even remember his own fucking song. What a loser. This guy has no job like I have. Oh, my God.
You know what I think of when I think of those baked in BO bohemians swirling around? I think of the whirling dervishes in Sufism.
Oh,
you know, the
yeah,
ones
right.
that wear like the fez with the white outfit who go into like the ecstatic Islamic sect to go into like a ecstatic state. It's pretty much like Sufism. It's weird.
You know, and I'm not trying to knock acid. It's a pretty good drug, but not at a Grateful Dead show. I enjoyed acid better at the Slayer show I went to.
I haven't used that in decades, and I never went to a concert and used it. I was always in a home setting, but it's been like 20 plus years since I tried that.
Oh, well, you know, yeah. It was good. It's good to do once or twice just to get things flowing in your fucking mind, you know, but
yeah,
I
think the psilocybin is probably, better.
Now you're
it's real. It's real too. Like the whole idea of like, these vegetable or mycelic or plant medicines, you know, versus synthetic stuff. I mean, I would always stay away from the synthetic stuff. Not that you should abuse the plant stuff, whether it's an herb that makes you high or an herb that just makes you sleepy. But I think it's way better than all this synthetic stuff.
And see, Sean, how we did that? This is radio talent. I promised Sean that we would get to the esoteric in the last 10 minutes of the show.
Here we
and
are.
We have figured it out how to do it. Sean, this is the esoteric last 7 minutes.
And we're going to talk about all types of,
we're
going to
talk about
things.
The last full moon of
the decade.
Of the decade.
Yeah, 12:12 a.m. this morning. 12:12 a.m. this morning, the moon went from Gemini, the sign of the twins, into Cancer, the sign of the crab. And this is, the last moon of the decade. Yeah, it's a blood
Sean,
moon, you said, right?
We're doing this just to make you mad.
It's the super blue blood moon, they're saying.
Yeah. This is the super blue blood moon. By the way, 12-12 means new beginnings. In the
That's
esoteric.
Right. Oh, actually, so, this isn't the super blue blood moon. This is another one. Excuse what I said. But yes, this is very esoteric with the 12-12. And this is also, it happened at 12:12 a.m. on 12:12.
Yes, yes, whoa. Yes. So this is mind-blowing. Go ahead and take your acid, folks. I'm surprised, you know, if the Grateful Dead was still alive. And by the way, I'm grateful they're dead. I don't have to hear their fucking music anymore. But if they were alive, they would do it on this night or last night.
Yeah. The super blue blood moon is going to be January 10, 2020. So everyone can mark their calendars for that.
Okay. Let me mark my calendar. January.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Is that cyanide from Cyanide's Kitchen?
Oh my God, I hear cyanide.
This is cyanide, whatever, when you're talking about your esoteric bullshit. Yes, you just gotta stop this shit immediately. Okay, I'll let you go because you gotta finish your show.
Well, you might as well stay on now, goddammit.
Yeah, what do we have, a minute?
We just had a call coming in, but for some reason Skype wouldn't take it, Mike. For some reason, I invited the person into
one of my friends.
It was an unknown number, but it still should have been taken. What happens was I clicked the thing and it didn't go through. So I don't know what's going on
Sean,
hopefully they tried.
Most of my friends are on the terrorist watch list. They probably dropped it.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. As for your esoteric bullshit, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, the moon's full regardless. Esoteric or exoteric, the moon is full.
Actually, I can tell you a very good story there, Tabs. When the moon is full, I jump on the push bike. I put my little dog in. I've got a bicycle trailer. I put him in the bicycle trailer, and we go for a ride, and we just enjoy ourselves. But yous have literally got less than a minute left. So, hey, great show, and I look forward to yous doing another one. Sign us out.
Hey, Sean, sorry about the flat tire, by the way, and I'll...
You can't apologize for a flat fucking tire. It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. So
the Jews did it, goddammit. The goddamn Illuminati.
We got his tire, ladies and gentlemen, to make perfectly sure that he wouldn't do a show, but he still made it, the motherfucker. Yeah.
Goddammit, they don't want this information to get out. The Illuminati, the German death cults, they flattened my tires. Anyway, it's been a pleasure having both Sean and Tabitha. Tabitha from White Wellness from the broadcast New Orleans Booking News. Check out her show every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. right here at WTFR. Cheers and God bless and death to the New World Order.
Bye bye.
Good night, everybody. I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone. I'll figure it out, you know. I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know. And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. We need to open our eyes. There's over 2 million illegal immigrants bedding down in this state tonight. This state spent $3 billion last year on services for those people who had no right to be here in the first place. $3 billion. $400 million just to lock up a bunch of illegal immigrant criminals who only got into this country because the fucking INS decided it's not worth the effort to screen for convicted felons. Who gives a shit? Our government doesn't give a shit. Our border policy is a joke. So is anybody surprised that south of the border they're laughing at us? Laughing at our laws?
Yeah.
Every night, thousands of these parasites stream across the border like some fucking pinata exploding. Yeah. Don't laugh. There's nothing funny going on here.
That's cool.